Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be discussing Elon Musk's new interview with the Financial Times. We've also got some confusing reporting out of China on Gigafactory Shanghai and whether or not it's operating, so we'll straighten that out. We've got April numbers from the China Passenger Car Association that we'll take a look at, updates on those possible German EV incentives, and a couple of other items. All right, I think looking at the markets, a very exciting, unexciting day today. It's nice to get a little bit more stability. The NASDAQ up 1%, Tesla up 1.6%, closing at $800.04. That stability may be short-lived as, of course, tomorrow morning the Consumer Price Index CPI report will come out. That'll be released 1 hour before market open, and whatever is reported will set the tone for how the market is feeling about inflation, how they're then feeling about interest rates as a reaction to inflation, and then I'm sure there will be other narratives arising as people dig through the detailed data. So we'll spend a fair amount of time on that tomorrow. Looks like the current expectation is for inflation to increase year over year by 8.1%, which would be lower than March. If that does happen, you're going to see a lot of articles talking about how we may have reached peak inflation. But remember, as we have been talking about for months now, this was something that could be anticipated based on looking at last year and how inflation really started hitting in April last year. So with those last year numbers now starting to be higher, if inflation maintained that same rate of year-over-year growth, that would actually represent an even worse circumstance. So this should be expected, but sometimes perception plays a more important role than what the actual data is saying. So anyway, the expectation seems to be for an 8.1% year-over-year increase, and then the month-over-month expectation, so April from March, seems to be an expectation for a 0.3 to 0.5% increase, so probably midpointed at 0.4. All right, getting into the Tesla-specific news then, we're going to start off with China. We've got a couple of things here. First, the China Passenger Car Association reported numbers for April. Of course, production is what we care about most, and production did come in pretty close to what I'd expected, 10,757 vehicles produced by Tesla in Giga Shanghai in April, about 6,500 Model Y, and about 4,200 Model 3. So looking at our table, of course, this was down quite a bit from March production levels, but of course we had the shutdowns in the first few weeks there of April. So this ended up being about 900 vehicles per day since that April 19th restart, which again tracks pretty closely to some of the reporting that we had heard, and hopefully that production rate ticked up a little bit towards the end of the month. Since this is basically what we'd expected, we don't need to spend too much time on it. I still think this is going to make it tough for Tesla to get back to Q1's production levels, not completely off the table yet, but clearly a lot of ground to make up and challenging circumstances in which to do so, which we actually will talk about here in a second. But just to wrap up with the CPCA numbers, Tesla did also sell 1,500, so delivered 1,500 vehicles in China in the month of April. No exports. Obviously, this is just a logistics thing and really not all that surprising considering that if we look back to March, Tesla drained their inventory from Giga Shanghai down by 10,000 vehicles. And then with April production being so backloaded, obviously there's going to be a bit of a lag time to getting those into customers' hands. And from a delivery wave perspective, I'm guessing most of these vehicles Tesla will end up exporting, so the big discrepancy here might just be as simple as them waiting for a ship to send these out. All right, so the other update on China is on the current status of production at Giga Shanghai. There was some conflicting and confusing reporting on this last evening. Reuters and a couple of other sources at the time had initially reported that Tesla had halted production at Giga Shanghai, basically saying that they didn't have the parts to continue production. Tesla China then did comment on this, but their comment was a little bit weird. They said that they had not received notice about the shutdown of the Shanghai factory, and they commented that there may be some lag in logistics. So to me, that seemed like kind of a non-denial denial. Like, oh, we haven't been told we need a shutdown, but, well, we might be. So then today we've got more reporting from Reuters. They say that Tesla, according to a memo that they have seen, planned to manufacture fewer than 200 vehicles on Tuesday, today, and that reduced production numbers yesterday and today were due to difficulties with procuring supply. After some difficulty getting to this point, I think that this is the most accurate report. This matches information that I have heard, which is that Tesla paused production on Monday due to a shortage from Aptiv. They supply their wire harnesses because apparently Aptiv had a positive COVID test at their facility, causing the supply issue. So my understanding is that that production pause has largely continued today, but I've also heard that Tesla plans to resume production tomorrow. I don't know if that means at full pace, and I'm not even sure that Tesla themselves would know at this point either. So definitely not ideal news, but hopefully something that Tesla can work through in a relatively short period of time. But yeah, disruptions like this should be expected until everything is kind of back up and running normally there in Shanghai and China. I thought Elon in his interview today, which of course we'll talk about here in a second, had a really good analogy for this. He said that sometimes Tesla is like a duck floating across the surface of a pond where it looks like, oh, very smooth and relaxing. However, below the surface, the duck's feet are going crazy nonstop. Sometimes, like this occasion, we get a glimpse below the surface, But stuff like this is always happening. There's no need to overreact to it. Tesla will get these things figured out over the long term. One other quick thing before we get into that interview. We talked yesterday about how Handelsblatt had reported that the federal transport minister in Germany was planning to increase electric vehicle incentives. Well, today we hear directly from the source. He replied to that article on Twitter saying, no, he doesn't plan that. So maybe there was some discussion on that at some point in time. Maybe there still is. But for now, that report has been directly refuted. All right, let's get into the interview with Elon Musk from today. There are quite a few interesting comments made by Elon, and we'll hit, I believe, all the highlights here, because frankly, usually I would say that I'd recommend watching the entire interview. I can't recommend that in this case. Unfortunately, this was one of the worst that I have seen. To give an example of that, the interviewer at one point, even after Elon had already specified that this was not the proper forum for discussing future products or future factories, asked if Tesla had any plans for factories in Indonesia, and Elon said, not the place for that question. The interviewer then immediately followed that up with if Tesla would build a factory in the UK, just like clearly not listening at all. The flow was strange. Some of that's because it's virtual and that is difficult, but just pretty uncomfortable and a lot of repetitive stuff. So I wouldn't spend the time, but that's what I'm here to save you from. So as I mentioned, the interview started off with a little bit of overlap with JB Straubel and Elon Musk both talking together. That used to be a frequent occurrence, so kind of fun to see that happen again. There wasn't anything too impactful from that, but they did talk a little bit about EV competition, what's going on with startups right now. JB mentioned a point that we have brought up before, that it's tougher now for electric vehicle startups because what are they going to do that Tesla isn't doing or won't do? What is their niche? There's definitely benefits to starting now in terms of access to capital, in terms of Tesla having shown the roadmap, but ultimately in the automotive space, you're going to have to compete with all these other automakers and now Tesla too. Elon had a couple of comments on EV startups. He said that companies are jumping in at the deep end trying to make a high volume vehicle without ever having made a vehicle before. His advice was to start small, make mistakes at a small scale with a lot of capital in reserve, then learn and grow from there. He also said that starting a car company is, quote, the furthest thing from easy money possible, end quote. Later on, Elon was asked who he views as the most impressive EV startup, and he thought for a little bit, and then answered with Volkswagen as making the most progress aside from Tesla, saying that even though it's not really a startup, their EV portion kind of is. And then he also noted that he believes there will be some strong EV companies coming out of China. As for Tesla specifically, Elon was asked about supply constraints, demand, and although that's maybe not interesting by itself, Elon did add something that was interesting, saying that, quote, now demand is exceeding production to a ridiculous degree. We are actually probably going to limit or just stop taking orders for anything beyond a certain period of time because some of the timing is like a year away, end quote. That would be an interesting move. Tesla had kind of alluded to that on the Q1 earnings call where they were talking about the difficulty in setting their pricing so far out because they don't exactly know what their costs are going to be a year from now, for example. So Tesla's tried a few things to combat that. First, obviously price increases. Second, prioritization of higher trim vehicles. But at a certain point, the wait list for some trims might just get too long, where Tesla just has to stop taking orders for that configuration for a period of time and hope people opt into other vehicles with lower wait times. And you could say, oh, just raise prices. Prices can fix some of that, but there's some perception issues with that. You also could run into a scenario where you don't actually want to raise prices as high as they would need to right now for a period of time that is so far away, because then what if Tesla at that point in time wants to lower prices? Are people going to be happy taking delivery of vehicles that cost more since they ordered earlier? Well, probably not. So there are challenges that need to be thought through with that strategy as well. And Tesla may just find that instead of adjusting the entire lineup to solve for wait times for one configuration, maybe it just makes sense to stop taking orders for that for some period of time in some regions. So that was pretty interesting on the demand side. And then on the production side, he talked about constraints. We've heard most of this, but Elon was a little bit more specific. He said that there are some raw material constraints, particularly in lithium, probably coming in about 3 years. But when he talks about that constraint, he thinks the biggest part of that constraint is the equipment necessary to convert the ore for those materials into battery-grade materials. So that was in reference to lithium or even nickel. But he said this is just one of the problems along the way of ramping up to 20 million vehicles per year. It's not unsolvable. And he did say that, yes, it is possible that Tesla might get involved in this in some way, whether that would be buying a refining company or partnering or whatever else. Wherever Tesla feels like they can make things more optimal, that's what they'll do. He did also comment that, in general, the 20 million vehicle target for 2030 is simply an aspiration, saying that we may achieve it, we may not. It is simply what Tesla is targeting. Anyway, related to production and constraints, Elon also talked about the current circumstance in China. He said that he has had recent conversations with Chinese government officials, and from the information he has, it's his belief that it is clear that the lockdowns are being lifted rapidly And he said, quote, I would not expect this to be a significant issue in the coming weeks, end quote. Now, of course, Elon could be wrong on that, but that is a very important statement, not just for Tesla, but for the entire market. This whole situation has caused a lot of this panic. If things in China start to go the other direction, if inflation data looks good, the market can turn around very quickly. Anyway, the other thing that Elon shared on China, he did actually talk a little bit about their factory plans here. He said, quote, we're not expecting to open any additional plants in China in the near future. We will be expanding Giga Shanghai, end quote. There have actually been quite a few other rumors of Tesla looking for other locations in China, so I'm actually not ready to hang that up yet, but we will see. A couple of other Tesla-related things here. He talked about AI and FSD. He said that more and more incredibly talented people are joining the Tesla team. He's not seeing anyone else close to solving real-world AI. He is very confident that Tesla will not merely maintain its software lead, but increase it. I would agree with that perspective, and he still believes in FSD happening sometime later this year. That one, I obviously don't agree with, but that would be great. As for supercharging, he said that Tesla would be adding the quote-unquote rest of industry connectors to US superchargers as a part of opening up the supercharger network to third parties like we have seen Tesla start testing out in some places in Europe. A couple of other product-related things, Elon did reiterate that Tesla is open to licensing. He thinks that most likely that would be for Autopilot. Said that we need to, quote, prove ourselves for, I don't know, maybe another year or so. Then perhaps someone would license Autopilot. We'd be very open to that, end quote. He was asked if he was concerned about the risk of losing the EV truck market as others are coming to market first. Of course, Elon said no. They've got more orders for the Cybertruck than Tesla could fulfill for 3 years after the start of production, Elon said. Now, I'm not going to read too much into that in terms of their anticipated Cybertruck production rate. We don't exactly know the order count. We don't know how Tesla is discounting that order count for multiple orders. We don't really know how precise Elon was being here, so I'm not really reading into that statement. Then the last sort of product thing here, Elon did say that there was some probability that Tesla would make a car eventually smaller than the Model 3 is. Tesla has alluded a lot to efficiency when discussing the dedicated robotaxi, so I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up smaller than the Model 3. As for the future of Tesla, Elon made a few comments. He said that he thinks that the future of Tesla is extremely strong. Noted that the constraints that we're seeing right now in China, as we talked about, are just a short-term hiccup. And he said, eventually, Tesla is going to be throwing off a tremendous amount of free cash flow. As for whether or not Tesla would ever consider buying another car maker, Elon said that that was highly unlikely. And for how long Elon would be at Tesla, he said, as long as I can be useful. Beyond Tesla, Elon was also asked about the possibility of merging companies. So this, you know, company X idea that's been floated around a few times. He said he doesn't see a ton of merit in combining them, but he did give an example that a lot of times when they are recruiting, talent wants to work on things both at SpaceX and at Tesla. So they do try to facilitate that, and they gave the example, as we've heard before, about the materials teams working on projects for both companies. Finally then, Elon was of course asked about Twitter, and one question was if his involvement with Twitter and potentially some of the negative feelings that that could create, as tends to happen, especially with Elon's stated goal of upsetting the 10% of the left and the 10% of the right equivalently. Elon thought about how to answer that for a second and then said, quote, I am confident that we will be able to sell all the cars that we can make, end quote. The other thing that was discussed about Twitter, which will, out of all of this, probably get the most attention in the mainstream media, was whether Elon would let Trump back on the platform. And unsurprisingly, Elon reiterated what he has said before, that he believes that anything that is illegal should obviously not be allowed on the platform, but he also does not believe that permanent bans are a very good solution, with the exception of bots and scammers and things like that. Really, his point was that, hey, this should be a public town hall. If you ban Trump and then he goes off and starts Truth Social and takes a decent percentage of the right with him to that platform and they leave Twitter, it leads down this path of even further bifurcation in politics and in public discourse, which I hope, and Elon hopes, is a point that can be understood regardless of which side that you're on. And to be clear, Elon didn't say that no corrective action should ever be taken. That's not his point of view, just that the actions that have been taken have been extreme and will therefore have consequences. So it's a tricky subject. You gotta admire Elon for being willing to wade into this mess to try to have a positive impact, and we'll see if that can be achieved. But that really is it for today, so as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, May 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.